Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do this live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded incarnation of the program that we roll out on Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Mojo 5.0 Radio, mojo50.com, your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio out there. ACP, of course, honored and humbled to be moving amongst that rarefied air. Outstanding hosts, outstanding programming. You can find them on apps all over the place, but if you're just hanging around with your laptop or whatever, use mojo50.com. You can hit the show bar, the show tab there, and you can listen to the shows as they appear in their scheduled rotation, or you can just scroll down that page, find what you want to listen to if you've missed an episode of one of your favorite programs there, and check them out that way. Mojo50.com. Okay, I knew a little bit about this when it happened, I think it was on Tuesday. I knew a little bit about it, but I already had things lined up for the Tuesday program, and apparently, it has gained some significance, more significance than I think they want it to have, and that's a good thing. At some point, and I put it like this because I've been kind of dissatisfied with the lack of fight fundamentally on the Republican side of what's going on in D.C. Not the uniparty, but guys that still consider themselves fundamentally, from an ideological standpoint, constitutional conservatives, Republicans. And they talk and they bluff and they bluster, but when the meat hits the metal, most of the time these guys, they don't fight. They don't stand up. They don't push back. I'm not dead air. I'm just getting a drink. But Tuesday, There was some pushing back. It was pretty impressive, I thought. As most of you guys know, Adam Schiff is, you know, he's got this impeachment inquiry going on. It's behind closed doors. It's down in the basement somewhere, deep in the bowels of the swamp in D.C. It's a sham. Okay, it is a sham. But, you know, they're doing it, and they're making it sound like it's an official impeachment inquiry. It's not an official impeachment inquiry. It's a show. It's the theater that is preparatory to the show trial. And that's really what they want, if they could carry it that far. What they're doing is they're talking to all these witnesses. They're getting testimony in secret, and the Republicans don't have a chance to find out who the witnesses are, let alone what the witnesses are witnessing to, and you know they can't cross examine, can't do anything. They're shut out of the process. Well, Tuesday, I'm surprised. I'm impressed. I'm glad they're doing it, and it was a great thing to listen to and see. But members of the Freedom Caucus, the Republican members of the House of Representatives, about 30 of these guys, said, "You know what? We're done. We don't want to hear it. We're not interested anymore in this foolishness." And so they went down there. Let me see if I can find it. They went down there. The Freedom Caucus is what it is. 30 representatives, 30 Republican representatives said, okay, you know what? That bug-eyed little pencil neck tool, that shift head, that shifter brains, well, he's going to throw a shift fit because we're going to go check this out. And they went down, and they opened the place up. I don't want to say stormed. A lot of people have said it, but they busted the joint open. And right before they went in, and it was whoever came up with this idea, whoever thought this thing out, pretty sharp cookie, Adam Schiff and all his people are inside in the secret hearing room, the Star Chamber, and they're getting this testimony, and they're going through it, and they're leaking those things that may be beneficial to them when taken properly out of context. And what they're doing is they're trying to gin up public support for impeachment because they know they don't have it. They don't even have it in the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi would have, if she'd had the votes, believe me, this thing would have been on its way to the Senate for trial. But they don't have the votes. That's why they're doing it this way. It's theater. Impeachments start with the House Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee is chaired by Jerry the Jowls Nadler. And apparently, if there's one guy in Washington, D.C. working in the House of Representatives that's dumber than Adam Schiff, yeah, it's Jerry the Jowl. So the Republicans, they come down the steps. It's an impressive thing. See, and they're looking for real, man. They're looking for real. Matt Gaetz steps up to the podium. It's a presser. They are holding a press conference outside Adam Schiff's pleasure dungeon. I don't know what the hell you want to call it, but that's where they're at. They're outside Adam Schiff's secret underground lair, and they're having a press conference. And the first two guys, well, here we go. This is Matt Gaetz from the Freedom Caucus. Check this out. The hearing is going on, and this is what's happening on the other side of the door.
I'm gathered here with dozens of my congressional colleagues underground in the basement of the Capitol, because if behind those doors they intend to overturn the results of an American presidential election, we want to know what's going on. And
hell,
it's
yeah,
only
we do.
Reasonable that we would have questions, because so far, Adam Schiff's impeachment inquiry has been marked by secret interviews, selective leaks, weird theatrical performances of transcripts that never happened, and
bullshit.
Lies about contacts with a whistleblower. And so I'm going to have a few of my colleagues give remarks, and then we're going to try to go in there, and we're going to try to figure out what's going on behalf of the millions of Americans that we represent that want to see this Congress working for them and not obsessed with attacking a president who we believe has not done anything to deserve impeachment. Now the Republicans...
Get in there and bust some Schiff up, man.
Thank you, Matt. What is Adam Schiff trying to hide? I think that's a question so many people have, so many of my colleagues have, so many people in the press should have, is through those hidden closed doors over there, Adam Schiff is trying to impeach a president of the United States behind closed doors, literally trying to overturn the results of the 2016 election a year before Americans get to go to the polls to decide who's going to be the president. And frankly, it should be the people of this country who decide who's going to be the president, not Nancy Pelosi and not Adam Schiff in secret behind closed doors. The fact that Adam Schiff won't even let the press in, you can't even go in and see what's going on in that room. Voting members of Congress are being denied access from being able to see what's happening behind these closed doors where they're trying to impeach the president of the United States with a one-sided set of rules. They call the witnesses. They don't let anybody else call the witnesses. They don't even let the president's legal counsel question people who are making baseless allegations. Maybe in the Soviet Union, this kind of thing is commonplace. This shouldn't be happening in the United States of America, where they're trying to impeach a president in secret behind closed doors. The American people deserve better. We will demand better for the American people.
Hell yeah. Okay, you know, and so now this is going on. Now there were a bunch of guys. This thing went on for about 25 minutes. 30 Republican members of the House of Representatives, members of the Freedom Caucus, some important people. Matt Gaetz is one of them. Steve Scalise, if you guys remember, Steve Scalise was one of the guys that was playing on the Republican House of Representatives baseball or softball team. They were out practicing for a 4th of July game, which they had Republicans and Democrats in the House played every year. They were out on a softball field practicing when I can't remember his name, James Hotz. Anyway, he was a Bernie Sanders supporter, went out and shot at the guys, and he almost killed Steve Scalise. He shot a couple of times, and he had a long, hard road to recovery to come back. But there's about, you know, there were about six or seven of the members of the Freedom Caucus that said fundamentally the same thing. Now, just think. And I got to, you know, and the more I thought about it over the last couple of days, how they staged this, how they got this put on, because again, what have I said about all this? Theater. It is theater. And I suppose you could call it counter theater. Now, they got to know. I'm just surmising this, but some little minion or lackey was probably, they're in the middle of testimony with whoever was in there at that particular time. I'm not sure about that. But whoever was in there giving their testimony, I think it might have been this William Taylor is the guy's name. William Taylor, we're going to check. He's their star witness. He's not the whistleblower. I don't know where the hell he comes into this picture, but he's the guy that they decided they can use since they don't need the whistleblower. Anyway, so they're testifying, and somebody's bound to have scribbled some kind of note, or Adam Schiff got a text or something, and somebody said, man, there's 30 Republicans outside the other door. They're having a presser, and they're getting ready to come in here. Gulp. What? The devil, you say. Because this is not what Republicans do, guys. They just And I'm glad to see it. They need to start doing this. And then they do. They open the doors. They go in. They're not going to be denied entering in those proceedings. And they do. And they try, you know. But by this time, Adam Schiff has had his minions carry away all the pertinent documentation. I'm sure they were probably, you know, stenographers or whatever means of recording this type of testimony they use. And so it's all gone. It's not in there. So screwed up Adam's day. He looks like a chump again, even more so. Now, just imagine, again, as I say, the impeachment proceedings and articles of impeachment run through the Judiciary Committee, the House Judiciary Committee, and, of course, Jerry the Jowls is chairman of the House Judiciary, which is not an easy word to say. I'm not going to go any further than that. But they can't go through the House Judiciary because they can't trust Jerry the Jowl to do it. Look what happened with the Mueller report. Well, nothing happened with the Mueller report. So they bring in Bob Mueller. And like I said before, he had more trouble remembering stuff than Joe Biden. And so then that doddering old fool shuffles off to lots and lots of money and relative obscurity, aside from his country club pals. Nancy Pelosi decides that Jerry just can't, he just doesn't have the juice. So what does that leave her? That leaves her Adam Schiff, chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. That's why they've doctored this thing to where it would run through a, quote, CIA operative, a whistleblower, so that it moves through the intelligence community where it winds up in front of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, chaired by Adam Schiff. But it had to be set up that way because Schiff met with the people. He had his staff meet with the people. Before the whistleblower did this thing, he sent a guy to Ukraine he sent one of his staffers to Ukraine, ostensibly on some foreign fact-finding tour. And, he meets with the former president, Poroshenko. Poroshenko's a big pal of Obama's. And was the corrupt guy who got rid of Viktor Shokin, who Joe Biden wanted rid of because he was investigating Burisma Holdings. He wanted to know why the hell Hunter Biden was getting $50,000+ a month for quite a few months to the tune of about $3.1 million for being on the board of Burisma Holdings, a natural gas company. Hunter Biden doesn't know anything about natural gas. He doesn't know anything about Ukraine. He knows about smoking coke. He knows about being a load. But he doesn't know anything about the energy industry, and he doesn't know anything clearly about geography. And they're dumping all this money. It was just, coincidence. His dad was vice president of the United States at that time, plus the point man on Eastern European foreign policy, including Ukraine. And I'm probably digressing a little bit, aren't I? That's okay. We're going extra innings tonight. Those of you tuning in, Mark is not doing a show tonight. He's taking some well-deserved time off to be with family, and I hope he's having a ball. So we might cut into a little bit of his time. I've got it set for 90 minutes. And if I keep smoking on this the way I'm going, we may go a full 2 hours. So they go in and they disrupt it. It's all okay. That particular train, for the time being, has been derailed. It took the wind out of Schiff's sails. It directs the attention towards the Freedom Caucus busting into this place, throwing some sunlight around, clearing out the roaches. And like I said, and it makes Schiff look like a jerk again. And he has a long storied history of looking like a jerk. For 2 years, he told us about all of the clear evidence that he saw concerning the level of Russian collusion between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. Where is it? 2 years he told us this. He had it. It's coming. It's coming around the bend. And you know what they said for 2.5 years. and then nobody says anything. The Mueller report comes out. No collusion, no nothing. Adam Schiff's looking off into the distance, staring fixedly at a point beyond the horizon, and, you know, muttering to himself. And to compound this, so this particular attack, and these are all temporary things, it's like, you know, it's like a boxing match, or it's like fencing. You know, the Democrats make a thrust, and they make this thrust with the impeachment and Adam Schiff in the bowels of Washington, D.C., and dragging these people down there, and they're testifying in secret, and there's no due process. Now, ostensibly, they say this is to keep potential suspects, criminals, from aligning their testimony, tuning their testimonies up, getting their stories straight. But the only people that are getting their stories straight are the people in these underground hearings. Underground, man. I mean, just think about that concept right there. Underground. In the basement of a Washington building somewhere. Shielded from the light of day. Shielded from the light of truth. Shielded from the great disinfectant sunlight. It doesn't matter. I mean, whether we can prove it or not, I don't think we need to prove it. Why else would they do it? He's Adam damn Schiff. He's the head of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He could have any hearing room above ground that he wanted. He could have C-SPAN. He could have Fox, CNN, ABC, CBS. He could have it all. He could have it all. What does he do? He runs underground into a spider hole. This self-important, self-insistent ambitious, corrupt, intellectually stunted fool, this hack, this egomaniac, thinks he's perfectly entitled to co-opt and invalidate my vote, yours, ours. And this is the kind of stuff what the Freedom Caucus guys did, this is the kind of stuff that they're going to have to continue to do. Later on that evening, he was on Tucker Carlson, and he, a few minutes, not much, here's what he had to say about what was going on with what they did. And believe me, I think it's a big step. It's something that's very, very telling. And it could be that finally these gutless Republican worms have decided to turn. And I'm not speaking bad about Matt Gaetz and the Freedom Caucus and guys like Doug Collins and Jim Jordan and John Ratcliffe. There are a lot of solid cats that are working hard in the House of Representatives to uncover this stuff. And they are standing strong and they need our support. But here's, he broke it down, and this is the truth. Matt Gaetz on Tucker Carlson about what they did in storming the bunker.
Today, Schiff was holding closed-door impeachment hearings on Capitol Hill. A group of Republican members of Congress, led by Matt Gaetz of Florida, showed up and demanded to be let inside. Watch.
Is it behind those doors they intend to overturn the results of an American presidential election? We want to know what's going on. We're going to go and see if we can get inside. So let's see if we can get in.
Gates and other members ultimately delayed today's hearing by about 5 hours. Congressman Matt Gaetz joins us tonight in the studio. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on.
Good to be with you.
So what was the purpose?
We had the audacity to want to know what in the world was going on behind closed doors, where Democrats have engaged in a strategy of secret interviews, selective leaks, theatrical, weird performances of transcripts that never happened, and then lies about whistleblowers. And so it's reasonable to suggest that we would want more transparency on behalf of the millions of people that we represent.
Do you have a right under congressional rules to demand it?
There are no rules, Tucker. If we had rules, Nancy Pelosi would have put this issue to a vote and established rules like happened for President Clinton, like happened for President Nixon. But the Democrats want to preserve the most like operational flexibility. And so if they're going to have a world with no rules, we got to stop like thinking that we can use the Marquis of Queensbury rules of engagement when we're fighting against an angry pack of rabid hyenas. And that's what we're facing. And I think the president's right. As Republicans, we need to be tougher in exposing this for the kangaroo court that it is.
Can you impeach a president without holding a vote?
That seems to be the Democrat strategy to date. And really what they're trying to do is
can
avoid
you pass the laws without voting on the
note?
Well, I mean, we appropriate money all the time without voting on it. Just a few people show up in the middle of the night and, you know, spend millions of dollars. But Democrats have learned a lesson from Russia. In the Russia investigation, they did hold open hearings. We saw Robert Mueller in his failure to adequately defend his report. We saw the Corey Lewandowski hearing, which was just a total disaster for Democrats. And so they've moved away from allowing Republicans to have cross-examination, thorough review, check testimony against documents and timelines, and they're just trying to use the natural advantage they have with the mainstream media to have secret interviews and selective leaks, and they're trying to pollute the American electorate with these lies about the president.
Is there any way for the rest of us following at home to know what's going on inside?
Members of Congress need to hear from their constituents. The American people need to demand more transparency. And I think, look, regardless of what people think about President Trump, it is a legitimate question to ask, why does President Trump not get the same due process from Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats that Newt Gingrich and the Republicans gave President Clinton?
I mean, how long can this go on?
I think that they don't really want an extended process because they can't withstand any review of the facts for a long period of time. I think we're on a rocket docket to impeachment in the House. I think impeachment was a functional certainty the moment that Nancy Pelosi grabbed that gavel, because the radical left today cannot win a fair debate or a fair election. And so everything is about trying to deplatform and destroy those who champion the America First agenda. And we've just got to stop reading and reacting. We've got to be, I think, very proactive in terms of exposing this corruption to the country.
Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good to see you tonight. Kim Strassel is, of course, on the Wall Street Journal editorial board.
Serious stuff. And that's what they did by going in there. And it's going to, and people that. I don't believe that the large measure, the country as a rule doesn't hang on this stuff the way I do, or, you know, the way the political junkies do, the way the Beltway people who are watching this and the pundits and all these guys who watch this stuff roll out. I don't think that the American people really pay that close attention to it, but when there are things like this, and again, theater, okay? Theater. When something like this happens, and number one, it's totally out of the ordinary, because this is not the kind of stuff that Republicans do. Yeah, again, Democrats grandstand all the time. When the president was invited, he had a big conference on what to do about Syria last week, and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer got up on the table and basically pulled their pants down and shook their behinds at the president and then stormed out. Okay, the Democrats do this stuff all the time. All the time. You know, and it was refreshing. It was refreshing to see. It was refreshing to hear that entire press conference. And it was nice to see where these guys just took all the impetus away from Adam Schiff and his foolishness. It's going to continue, and Adam Schiff's going to huff and puff, and he's going to talk about sanctioning or, you know, reprimanding these Freedom Caucus Republicans that did this. He's not going to do anything. He's going to look like a jerk because that's what he does best. And we're down to the bottom of the hour. So having said that, let me say this. We'll be back with more of ACP here in just a little bit after this brief musical interlude. ACP right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We'll be back soon.
Too many nights in a roadhouse, too much wine, women and song. Too many days on the highway, then I run around all night long. I take a good look in the mirror, in the cold gray light of dawn. Too many nights in a roadhouse, run a little good boy wrong. Running with my buddies on the wild side, caused me a run of bad luck. Out all night with a roadhouse crowd, now I'm down to my last $2. Working way too hard, trying to live too fast, putting too many wrinkles on. Too many nights in the old roadhouse, run a little good boy wrong. Too many nights in a roadhouse, too much wine, women and song. Too many days on a highway, then I run around all night long. I take a good look in the mirror, in the cold gray light of dawn. Too many nights in a roadhouse, run a little good boy wrong. I was living, and it wasn't too hard to tell. Had the blues come around when the sun went down, and my day didn't fare too well. I sure did want a taste of the good life till the good times come along. Too many nights in a roadhouse, run a little good boy wrong. Too many nights in a roadhouse, too much wine, women and song. Too many days on the highway, then I run around all night long. I take a good look in the mirror, in the cold gray light of dawn. Too many nights in a roadhouse, run a little good boy wrong. Too many nights in a roadhouse, run a little good boy.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. Well, I thought the day I met you, you were meek as a lamb. Just the kind to fit my dreams and plans. Now the pace we're living takes the wind from my sails, and it looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. No way to slow you down.
thousand, a leaf in a gale, and it looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry, 'cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight joker. I get my loving on the run.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. That was a big change up, wasn't it? James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do it twice a week live, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we also have, and that's 7 p.m., sorry, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We do a recorded version of the show for Mojo 5.0 Radio, mojo50.com, your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio, and ACP is there Sundays in a recorded version, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can go to mojo50.com, hit the show tab, and it'll bring you up with what's playing at any given time there. And you can scroll through that. And if you missed a particular episode of your favorite show, ACP, you can go and check it out. Oh, man, Steve Miller, the Joker. Once upon a time, long, long time ago, I was a honky-tonk singer for a while in a few places in southern West Virginia. Okay, so, yeah, hillbilly, baby. But in a way, at the time when I was doing that, late 70s to the mid-80s, it was kind of a southern fried hillbilly thing. And you know, I'm talking about that crossover with southern rock and roll and stuff like what Steve Miller was doing, and Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Allman Brothers, Muscle Shoals Studios, and oh, who was that guy? Tony. Our day will come. Tony Joe White. Tony Joe White. Poke Salad Annie. Yeah, he wrote Poke Salad Annie for Elvis. He did it first, and Elvis does a passable job, and you guys know how I feel about Elvis. But you had that southern style, southern fried rock and roll going on, and West Virginia and country, boy, I don't know what is. And so you had this kind of hybridization going on, and when we were playing music, when I was playing music back in those days, stuff like the Eagles and Steve Miller Band and Marshall Tucker, Allman Brothers, Skynyrd, you know the genre. And there were all these little honky-tonks and beer joints that we would play. We had this little circuit. The rich gigs, when you really hit it, the gig, you wanted the gigs like the Elks Club and the Moose on Saturday night. You know, that's where you wanted to be, because those guys paid money and they tipped pretty well, and they they'd hook you up with drinks if you acted like you had some sense and get too stupid on them. And if they liked you, hey, they bring you back. They never brought us back, but we always had a good time when we would get in there. But that was, yeah, wow. I kind of missed those days. I was thinking about that the other day, staring at the guitar I have here and remembering I used to play once upon a time, and then I went off and did something else. But I was thinking about it. I'm too old to do it now. I can't stay up late, and my voice is shot, and my hands have carpal tunnel and crippled up, and I can't play the guitar like I used to. But precious memories. All right, back to what we were talking about there. Schiffer, get off the pot, and I'm gonna get off the pot right now. So they've been the Democrats and the left have, with the Schiff show, have been pretty effectively shut down, at least for today, for this part of the news cycle. But you know, they're gonna recycle. They're going to reset. They're going to look at things. They're going to come back. But then the president, and I say this time and time again, and I'm going to say it right now. I think that Donald Trump is without a doubt the most gifted, and this is my own terminology, he is the most intuitively gifted psychologist that the 20th and 21st centuries have seen. He has this unique innate ability to take a look at his surroundings and the people that he's got to deal with, understand them, and not only understand them, understand what motivates them, and through that understanding, know how to set out things that are going to cause a knee-jerk reaction. And he is so, so very successful at it. We see it all the time. And we saw it this week. Excuse me. And we're going to get on after I wrap this up. We're also going to get on to John Brennan. I haven't talked about Johnny Red here in a while, beyond the usual "did you know" routine, which, by the way, did you know, in 1976, John Brennan voted for the Communist Party USA presidential candidate, Slobberin' Gus Hall. And now this communist sympathizing SOB was head. He was director of the CIA. Is it just me? Is it just me that this sends a weed up? It stupefies me. Growing up in the Cold War, which there were times when it got pretty hot between the free world and communist domination. And that's not canned. That's not Squaresville. That's what it was. Why do you think the backdrop of all those James Bond movies was communist domination of the world, or some guy that was in cahoots with the communists, or was being funded by them to, you know, hostage the nuclear weapons? Come on, guys. It was real. It really was. And this clown, Brennan, a communist sympathizer. Well, sure, he's a communist sympathizer. Who the hell else votes for the Communist Party USA's presidential candidate but a communist sympathizer? Director, Central Intelligence. So the president says, you know, look, guys, the Republicans are standing strong. I think this is wonderful on this call to action. And he says it. He says it. It's a lynching. He calls it what it is. Here's the tweet. So someday, if a Democrat becomes president and the Republicans win the House, even by a tiny margin, they can impeach the president without due process or fairness or any legal rights. All Americans must remember what they are witnessing here, a lynching. But we will win. Out of 185 present in the House, Republicans voted, by the way, to censure Adam Schiff for being a tool. Did you guys know that? So that's another thing that goes, we take these things into account. And again, there's theater. We're seeing the theater with Adam Schiff. And we're seeing this counter theater that's piercing through this silliness. And I'm not saying that to marginalize it. But news nowadays is fundamentally a very visual medium, which is why I'm in radio, because I have a face that was made for radio, and I love it here. But it is, by and large, a very visual medium. It has been for a long, long time. So when these things are, and I don't want to say staged, but these guys planned to do this, and somebody had to alert the press to them being there, right? Yeah. So the Republicans are leaking stuff too. They're taking a page out of the Democrat playbook. That's important. That's good, because that's how you're going to win. You fight fire with what? Fire. So 185 out of 185 Republican representatives vote to censure Adam Schiff for being a dillweed, and that's great. But now let's get back to this whole lynching thing. Of course it's a lynching. The Democrats, you know, and again, like I said, once again, he's done the unthinkable. Donald Trump, and this is why they hate the guy. He hit back by calling it what it is. And what are they impeaching him for? Does anybody know? Can anybody cite the statute? Can anybody name the specific law that the president has violated to incur the wrath of impeachment, to incur this vote of no confidence? No, they can't. That's why everything's being done in secret. Impeachment, again, this vote of no confidence being pushed without the authorization from the full House, as in the House of Representatives, the whole House, the full House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment, not the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, not simply the Democrats on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, not Nancy Pelosi, the House of Representatives. The Constitution gives this power not to the Speaker of the House, not to the Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, but to the House, meaning the entire House, Republicans and Democrats. Sure, sure, the House can change the rules. They could vote to make Joy Behar the Speaker of the House. Speaker of the House doesn't have to be a member of Congress, but it would be a radical departure from precedent, just as the current impeachment process is. So how is the House pushing impeachment? Through a secret process rather than a due process. Hearings are conveniently being held clandestinely, since if the oxymoronic House Intelligence Committee holds hearings, everything can be covered under the blanket of national security. The accusers call witnesses while the defense can only watch, unable to take notes, or call their own witnesses, subpoena documents, receive transcripts of the proceedings, or anything else normally afforded the defense under the due process of American jurisprudence. So how would one describe just such a circus? How about using the word lynch? Cambridge Dictionary informs us that lynching is if a crowd of people lynch someone who they believe is guilty of a crime, they kill them without a legal trial, usually by hanging. By the way, lynching is a diverse process, incidentally, and it is applicable to anyone, regardless of skin color, sex, or any other characteristic. Supreme Court nominees Brett Kavanaugh and Clarence Thomas, while of different skin colors, were both treated to Democrat lynchings. And the hanging bit might be a bit over the top. Democrats don't really want to hang President Trump. Or do they? Bette Midler, a good stand-in for Joy Behar for the speaker job, wants to hang not only Trump, but also his family, good and high. So does some tolerant South Carolina or California State University professor who believes that Trump must hang, the sooner and the higher, the better. The legal dictionary defines lynching as violent punishment or execution without due process for real or alleged crimes. And this certainly describes the House approach, no due process and only alleged crimes. The president understands this better than anyone, as he is the one being led to the gallows, and as he is prone to do, he took to Twitter with his response. All Republicans have to remember what they're witnessing here, a lynching. And here's the best part. This is what I like better than anything. But we will win. So as soon as this comes out, as predictable as sunrise and sunset, the media's collective heads exploded in unison over Trump's use of the word lynching. The left has hijacked that term to serve its pandering civil rights agenda, and for Trump to use it is an unacceptable affront to Democrats. By the way, has anybody figured out what crime the president committed, what statute the president's violated? Okay, we'll keep going. the New York Times, and this is interesting, is throwing Democrats under the bus by saying black lynching was done mostly at the hands of the KKK, the militant arm of the Democrat Party. Before Antifa, KKK. Remember Bull Connor, George Wallace, and the Klan Grand Kleagle, and former United States Senator Robert C. Byrd, all Democrats. Where did the term lynching come from? The Online Etymology Dictionary provides an answer and says, lynching was likely named after William Lynch of Pennsylvania, Virginia, who around 1780 led a vigilance committee to keep order there during the Revolution. Alternatively, other sources trace the name to Charles Lynch, a Virginia magistrate who fined and imprisoned Tories in his district. It seems that original lynchings, long before the KKK existed, were reserved for political opponents, just like President Trump described in his tweet. But immaterial of the origin, that the goal of lynching is to inflict severe, but not deliberately fatal, bodily punishment on someone without legal sanction. Removing a duly elected president is certainly severe, and the Schiff Pelosi secret tribunal falls under without legal sanction. Again, remember, the power to impeach is reserved to the House of Representatives in its entirety. Further, there's no mention of race, blacks, slavery, or the KKK in the definition of lynching. It reminds me of another word co-opted by the left, and that's gay. In 1934, Gay described a dancing divorcee with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers singing and dancing in a very heterosexual manner. But now, the word has only one meaning, as does lynching. Democrats, before they became woke in the age of Trump, frequently used the term lynching to describe unfair judicial proceedings, including the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. You can go to twitchy.com. They have a collection of a montage of all these guys saying something to do with lynching. The same people that are condemning President Trump for saying the word lynching, because now apparently, I guess, this, you know, we're going to interpret this to mean that once again, Trump reaffirms the fact he loves seeing black people swing. 1998, Democrat Representative Jim McDermott said, "We're taking a step down the road to becoming a political lynch mob. We're going to find a rope, find a tree, and ask a bunch of questions later." At the same time, Democrat Representative Jerry the Jowls Nadler said, "I wish we could get this over with quickly. In pushing the process, in pushing the arguments of fairness and due process, the Republicans so far have been running a lynch mob." Democrat Senator Harry Reid on the Senate floor told his audience, "The lynch mob, though, Mr. President, now has a new leader. Don't leave out Democrat Senator John Kerry, who served in Vietnam," exclaiming, "It's a verbal political lynching on the floor of the Senate." Even Democrat primary frontrunner Senator Joe Biden told Wolf Blitzer in 1998, "Even if the president should be impeached, history is going to question whether or not this was just a partisan lynching." Now, aside from the blatant hypocrisy pushed by the media, President Trump is exactly right in describing not only the current impeachment push, but also 3 years of resistance to his entire presidency as a lynching. Severe punishment without due process for alleged misdeeds. Still don't know what he did wrong yet. Senator Lindsey Graham, in an accidental moment of pro-Trump conservatism, weighed in on the current impeached Trump charade, saying, "This is a lynching in every sense. It's a shame that so many other Republicans have lost their voices, leaving this president as a sole defender within his party against the latest witch hunt. But a lynching is exactly what it is. And Republicans should be brave enough to say so. We'll be back with more of ACP here. Take another brief musical break, and we're going to come back and visit with good friend, Comrade John Brennan. I'm scanning for stuff. I'm just, you know how it goes, man. I should have all this stuff set up, and I never do, and it's good. Oh, yeah. James Bostic here, Conservatives Perspective. Extra innings. Extra innings. That's what we're doing here. And it's good to be here with you. Mark Hoffman, of course, you know, is usually by 8 o'clock. He's on with Patriot Nation Radio Live, taking some well-deserved time off, a little family time, and I hope he's killing it out there and having a terrific, terrific time. Well, what shall we talk about now? I think I know. As promised. Bill Durham, the attorney appointed by attorney, the prosecutor appointed by Attorney General, by the Attorney General is looking at John Brennan. Now you guys know where I'm at with Johnny Redd. And we're gonna talk about this. Got a couple of clips. We're gonna get in. And yes, Gary. Yes. A honky tonk singer. Man, I just got an inbox. I just saw an inbox from our friend Gary Benford, friend of the program and the man behind Nation Savers 2018. Yeah, sure enough, and I'm not making that up. It was a short-lived career, but there's a couple years out there in the beer joints and the honky tonks and roadhouses. The Christopher Steele dossier was called Crown. Let's see how just quickly I moved on out of it. The Christopher Steele dossier was called Crown material by the FBI agents within the small group during their 2016 political surveillance operation. The Crown description reflects the unofficial British intelligence aspect to the dossier as provided by Steele. And when he was testifying before Congress, James Comey Trey Gowdy asked James Comey, "Do you recall when I used the phrase crown material, what does that refer to?" And James Comey says, "I think it refers to materials that it will now call the Steele dossier. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I think that's the name that the analysts use for that material." We're going to get a little weedy, so you guys just take a deep breath, relax, sit back. I'm about halfway on my way through this. So don't worry, we're good. In May of 2019, former House Oversight Chairman Trey Gowdy stated there are emails from former FBI Director James Comey that outline instructions from CIA Director John Brennan to include the Crown material within the highly political intelligence community assessment. Specifically outlined by Trey Gowdy, the wording of the Comey email is reported to say, however, on May 23rd, 2017, in testimony under oath to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, but at this time it was in Republican hands, Trey Gowdy's the chairman, John Brennan stated, and I've got the clip right here, and we're going to go ahead and pull this up. This is what happened between John Brennan and Trey Gowdy when John Brennan was testifying about, I think I got it. Please, man, tell me I do. Aha, yeah, okay. John Brennan, Trey Gowdy. Here we go.
Chairman's time has expired. Mr. Crawford, 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will yield to the gentleman from South Carolina. Let me ask Mr. Gowdy.
I thank my friend from Arkansas. Director Brennan, do you know who commissioned the Steele dossier?
I don't.
Yes, you do.
Do you know if the FBI paid for any portion of the Steele dossier?
I don't know. I know that there are press reports related to that, but I don't know. I have no firsthand knowledge of that.
Yes, you do.
Do you know whether any of the underlying allegations made in the Steele dossier were ever tested, probed, examined, cross-examined, whether the sources were examined for reliability, credibility?
We didn't care.
I know that there were efforts made by the Bureau to try to understand whether or not any of the information in that was valid, but I don't have any firsthand knowledge of it.
Do you know if the Bureau ever relied on the Steele dossier as part of any court filings, applications, petitions, pleadings?
I have no awareness.
Yes, you do.
Did the CIA rely on it?
No.
Why not?
Yes, they did.
Because we did. It wasn't part of the corpus of intelligence information.
Yes, it was.
We had. It was not in any way used as a basis for the intelligence community assessment that was done. It was.
Yes,
it
was.
Not.
All right. This is my last line of question. I hope I have waited sufficiently long enough to ask you about leaks to not inflame the anger of our friends in the media who think Republicans are hyper-focused on it. So we'll just do it last. Some of your colleagues have testified that our surveillance programs are critical, vital, indispensable to our national security. Do you agree with their assessment?
Speaking generally, yes, some of those programs are absolutely essential and vital to our national security.
Do you agree that there is at least a tacit agreement between the American people and their government that they will allow us certain power, certain freedoms in exchange for safeguarding the privacy of the information collected?
I think there is certainly an expectation that there would be a protection of privacy as the government carries out its responsibilities, yes.
And you and I discussed some of those privacy protections, even within the intelligence community, as it relates to U.S. persons. And you've been very clear this morning. In fact, I've noted the times you've said U.S. persons. You could have inserted a name, but you did not. You had the discipline to say U.S. person. And that discipline is practiced throughout the intelligence community unless and until there is a request to unmask that U.S. person's name, correct?
I would like to think that discipline is still exercised even if a request to unmask a name is made.
All right. So we protect U.S. persons even within those like yourself and Director Pompeo and Admiral Rogers and Director Comey and the people that we trust with awesome powers, we still impose some restrictions on them and that they have to request an unmasking. There has to be, I assume, a justification. You can't just wake up in the morning and say, hey, I feel like knowing who participated in X, Y, and Z, there has to be justification, right?
Yes.
All right. So how do we get from that to names being on the front pages of certain major U.S. newspapers?
It's an excellent question.
What would be an equally excellent answer?
That somebody violated their oath to protect classified information and violated
that would be you, John.
And shared that information in an unauthorized fashion with members of the media.
Yes.
Well, my friend from Washington, and he is my friend, I was impressed not only with his eloquence, but the conviction with which he just spoke. But I've got other colleagues, not from Washington, that tend to minimize the nature of leaks as if there is somehow a weighing and a balancing that needs to take place between how interesting we may find the underlying information, how interesting we may find the underlying names. I have seen attempts, unfortunately, by members of this very body to mitigate and explain away and minimize what it does to the surveillance programs to have leaks of classified information. So I will finish.
Okay, we're going to stop right there. That's enough. You get the idea. Now, based on this information concerning the Crown material, as Victor Davis Hanson wrote at that time, Clapper and John Brennan and James Comey are now all accusing one another of being culpable for inserting the unverified and salacious dossier the font of the effort to destroy Trump into a presidential intelligence assessment, as if suddenly and mysteriously the prior seeding of the Steele dossier is now seen as a bad thing. And how did the dossier transmogrify from being passed around the Obama administration as a supposedly top secret and devastating condemnation of a candidate and then President-elect Trump to a rank embarrassment of ridiculous stories and fibs? Given the narratives of the last 3 years and the protests that the dossier was accurate or at least was not proven to be unproven, why are these former officials arguing at all? Did not implanting the dossier into the presidential briefing give it the necessary imprimatur that allowed the serial leaks to the press at least to be passed on to the public and thereby apprise the people of the existential danger that they faced in President Trump? Kind of brainy, but he makes a point. Now, Maria Bartiromo, they say, she's done a lot of stuff on this, and she has more, she's probably got the most backstory information when it comes to the 2016 political surveillance scandal than anybody out on the news. And in May, again, May 20th, 2019, on Fox Business, she outlined the issues as they existed at that time, and I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say as they still do between Comey and Brennan. Comey and Brennan and Clapper and those guys, if you've noticed, have been strangely quiet and very subdued. Brennan, up until last week, has still been making a little bit of noise, but even he's laid down finally and figured things out. And those guys are trying to work under the radar, which is difficult to do when you got a CNN contributor gig. But here's what Maria Bartiromo has to say about the possibility through this exchange that we just heard between Trey Gowdy and John Brennan, that maybe John Brennan laid in a trap which is going to tangle him up in his own perjury.
Welcome back. Investigating the investigators. On Sunday Morning Futures yesterday, I spoke with former House Oversight Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy about the dirty dossier and the 2016 email sent by then FBI Director Jim Comey. Watch this. Take me back to an email that Jim Comey wrote to his upper echelon staff. This is also considered classified, but you've seen it. What can you tell us about it?
Well, take a half step back. I mean, people use the word dossier, and it has such an official sound to it. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. It's a series of rank hearsay compilations put together by an FBI source who was later defrocked.
Compilations.
What we're trying to figure out is whether or not it was used a fifth time in the intelligence assessment. And you got Brennan, Clapper, and Comey, all three who know full well whether or not it was used in the intelligence assessment, but they're giving you different versions.
Right.
So there is information that exists in December of 2016, and I hope anyone who has access to it, Senator Burr, Devin, whoever is open-minded, go look at that. And I think it will help you understand whether or not that dossier,
yeah,
that unverified hearsay, was used for five times or just four times by the United States government. It's pretty bad.
So I'll explain this. Fox News senior judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano was here to walk us through it. Basically, what Trey Gowdy was saying was there was an email which was sent by Jim Comey to his leading upper echelon staff, including Baker and Peter Strzok and Andrew McCabe. And in that email, he writes to them, Brennan is insisting the Crown material, being the dossier, be included
Brennan?
In the intel assessment, Judge.
But he
it's
said
different
he didn't
than
know
what
anything
Brennan
about
testified.
It.
Well, you know, there's obviously a conflict between
Johnny.
What one said in an email, presumed it to be accurate because he's communicating to his staff,
Johnny.
And what another said retroactively under oath. So it depends on how aggressive U.S. Attorney Durham in Connecticut, who's the person that the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, has assigned to examine this. I use the word examine and its form carefully and explain in a minute. It depends how deep he wants to go. Is he just going to write a report of who he thinks behaved improperly and violated the law? Or is he going to use subpoena power and search warrants and grand juries and actually indict people? If he's going to do the former, we're just going to go back to square one, and we will have all this bad stuff about people, but nobody will be prosecuted. If he's going to do the latter, that's what prosecutors do. They don't do investigations to deliver reports. They do investigations to deliver indictments.
Yeah.
And if they don't have enough evidence to indict, then they leave you alone.
But the reason that this is important is because this is fingering John Brennan. And Brennan has been running around the last 2 years saying that President Trump committed treason. And in fact, if
like
this email
John Brennan
is correct, it is basically saying that it was Brennan who said use the dossier in the intel assessment. And the intel assessment, of course, is the assessment that Russia colluded with, I'm sorry, that Russia meddled in the U.S. election.
Well, if the
nothing to do with Trump.
Right.
That Russia meddled.
I haven't seen the email, obviously, but if the email is correct, it directly contradicts what Brennan said under oath.
Exactly.
Which is another thing for the folks in Connecticut to examine, whether or not the former director of the CIA perjured himself in order to make himself look good.
Yeah, and go ahead, Tom.
Judge, I mean, you know William Barr. And you've seen his statements on this, and he just did an interview with Bill Hemmer talking about it. He seems like he's going to sort of go back and get to the bottom of this. A lot of those folks who were at the FBI and the Justice Department, they're all gone now. They've left.
Not all of them.
Well, most of them have.
Well, the names we know are gone.
My point is,
a lot of people involved.
The bad apples are gone. That I agree with.
Do you think that William Barr is going to proceed with an investigation with subpoenas, with indictments?
Well, they're still working.
They're
just not at the FBI.
Or do you think this will just be a report that, you know, comes and goes?
I wish I had the confidence that you do and that Maria does that this will be a serious federal criminal investigation. But I know the way law enforcement likes to protect its own. I know the way the team in Connecticut, when they investigated CIA abuse, whitewashed the abuse, and it was there. Dianne Feinstein revealed it on the floor of the Senate. So I don't know where it's going to go. If the New York Times is correct, and this is a report and not a criminal investigation.
New York Times is not the only organization that's reported that. Kimberly Strassel in the Wall Street Journal reported that on Friday, that it's a review and that right now Durham does not have subpoena power.
So if he does not have subpoena power, he's not going to get to first base. You can only conduct an investigation of this magnitude where the people you're investigating are present and former law enforcement officials who know how the system works. You're not going to get to first base without subpoena power and without a grand jury, because a grand jury indicts.
But can't a review turn into an investigation?
Like, but why waste the time with the review? Just do the right thing.
Well, let's not forget that the Congress, the House Oversight Committee, the House Intel Committee, the House Judiciary Committee has done a lot of this work and has had testimony, and some of it's classified already, that they're basically handing over on a silver platter to Bill Barr.
Correct.
And there's more. All of these informants that were going in, Trey Gowdy also talked to me about releasing transcripts related to the investigation from the FISA courts, because we heard from George Papadopoulos on this program where he told us about the informants that came at him.
Right.
Those informant conversations should be transcribed. Watch this. When an FBI agent sends in informants to someone they're looking at, typically those conversations are recorded, right? Those people are wired.
Yeah, I mean, if the Bureau is going to send an informant in, the informant's going to be wired. And if the Bureau is monitoring telephone calls, there's going to be a transcript of that. And some of us have been fortunate enough to know whether or not those transcripts exist, but they haven't been made public. And I think one in particular is going, it has the potential to actually persuade people. Very little on this Russia probe, I'm afraid, is going to persuade people who hate Trump or who love Trump. But there is some information in these transcripts that I think has the potential to be a game changer.
That whenever there's a wire, there is a transcript. The question is, does the transcript see the light of day? What I think he also is concerned about is why this wasn't presented to the FISA court. And I've been saying this for a long time. Tom and I have talked about this on Brett Baer's show. FISA has corrupted FBI agents, soft form of corruption. If you go to a regular judge, as I was, and make an application for a search warrant, present probable cause of crime, you get the search warrant and you find evidence of crime and you prosecute the person, the application you made to the federal judge is revealed to defense counsel and they can cross-examine the FBI agent. Why didn't you tell this to the judge? Why didn't you tell that to the judge? When you go to a FISA...
Okay. We ran a little long on that. Sorry. So you see what he's talking about. Now, it looks based on what we've heard from, you know, what Brennan said and from what Trey Gowdy says, he's exposed himself to perjury. But beyond that, and probably even more troublesome, what does this say about the political intents of a weaponized intelligence apparatus? There was a thing in December 20, it was called the Joint Analysis Report, December 29th, 2016, in the aftermath of the election, the intelligence community put out this joint analysis report on Russia's cyber activity, and it was just a bunch of crap that got thrown on the wall, and whatever stuck went in the report. A week later, you have the ICA. Now, the ICA is the Intelligence Community Assessment, and it furthered this ridiculous construct of the joint analysis report and then overlaid this political narrative to it that Russia was trying to help Donald Trump win the election. I'm going to wrap it up here. I only got a couple of minutes. The ICA was the brain trust of John Brennan, James Clapper, and James Comey. While the majority of content was from the CIA, headed by John Brennan, some of the content within the intelligence community assessment was written by FBI agent Peter Strzok, who held a unique insurance policy interest in how the report could be utilized in 2017. NSA Director Mike Rogers would not sign up to the high confidence claims, likely because he saw through the political motives of the report. And apparently, John Durham is looking into just this aspect. Was the ICA document a politically engineered report stemming from within a corrupt intelligence network? I think we know what the answer is going to be. The larger question that begs asking here is, you know, what's going to be done about it? And I'm sure this is not the last that we're going to talk about this, but it's the last we're going to say on it this evening. I want to thank you guys for tuning in, hanging out. ACP is heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern time on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. We have a recorded version of the show that goes out Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern time on Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com, your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio out there. That's all we got for now. We'll be back next Tuesday, and I'm sure by then, who knows what in the world will have transpired that we'll be able to talk about. Until then, God bless you. God bless America. We'll be back on Tuesday taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. We'll see you then.